Thank you for the reading. Let me pray for us as we come to consider God's word this morning. So, Lord, as we consider your word, help us to hear you speaking through it. It's a difficult passage, but Lord, help us by your Spirit to hear your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as I mentioned, here we have the passage about one of the passages about Hagar and her experience in the desert of Beersheba, the wilderness. This is a new series. We are approaching the season of Lent, looking at the place and the role of the wilderness in the Bible. We'll be thinking about how difficult it is. But actually, in that difficulty, so often we find it is a place where, as in Hagar's case, it is a place where people are seen. And later on, we're going to be hearing about how it's a place where people hear God, where they're encouraged, where they are taught by God. So I've got a picture here. Sadly, it's not my picture. I am clearly not the world traveller. This is one of Andy's pictures. It's a picture of the Judean wilderness. It's a tough place. It's dry. It's arid. And of course, the wilderness is a metaphor for tough times in our lives. I'm under no illusions. I realise that many people here are going through or have recently been through tough times, very tough times. Sometimes, maybe always, we have that inclination, don't we, to want to put a brave face on it. The brave face, and we say, everything's okay. And we're sort of saying it through the tears in our eyes. But of course, in Christian thinking, that there is no shame in facing tough times. None at all. It's us who put the shame on. We think, oh, somebody's not praying enough. Somebody's not spiritual. That's rubbish. Right? We've got the whole of the book of Job, which is telling us that actually if we try to analyse why some people face tough times and others don't, then we're missing the point because God is sovereign over both situations. Now, obviously, we can bring tough times on ourselves. And normally, the easiest way to bring tough times on yourself is by willful disobedience to God. But don't ever discern that for somebody else, right? That's for them to work out between them and God. We don't want to lay that on somebody because actually there are so many other reasons why we might face tough times. Actually, the wilderness experience is really well known in Christian experience. Most famously discussed by St. John of the Cross, who was a 16th century mystic. He wrote a poem and a commentary that went with it. You may have heard of it. The Dark Night of the Soul. It's the experience of confusion, of helplessness, stagnation of purpose, losing yourself, even a sense of the withdrawal of God's presence. But always, it is with the purpose of making us holy, teaching us reliance on Him, giving us new and godly purpose in life. Now, I don't think we need to have our hands up here, right? Because actually, firstly, I don't want to point at anyone, but actually, we could probably all put our hands up and say, yes, I know what he's talking about. Right? There is a sense in which we all, at some time or other, face hard times in our lives. So in this passage, of course, we're thinking about Hagar's wilderness experience. I don't know if you picked it up from the passage. Hagar is very clearly one of the abused women of the Bible. She was Sarah's maid, but Abraham had a son with her. It's not a great start, is it? And when Sarah also had a son, Hagar was rejected and in this passage, callously thrown out of the family. But actually, even before today's passage, she is actively thrown out of the family. But in Genesis 16, a few chapters earlier, she has herself chosen to run away into the wilderness, into the desert. And her first experience of the desert is that God sees her. It talks about God seeing her and knowing her pain and reassuring her that he has a plan for her life and for her son's life. But when she returns to the family, her situation seems just as hopeless. Now, again, amazingly, you will have picked up from the passage that God seems to not only allow this to happen, but almost command it, not quite, but almost command it to happen. Because Hagar and her son Ishmael, we know that they are not part of the promise to Abraham of many descendants. Hagar's son Ishmael may technically be a descendant of Abraham, but actually never becomes part of the covenant people. Now, we have to understand, this is a uniquely Old Testament thing. These days, everyone, without any question at all, everyone has the potential, through faith in Jesus, to be part of God's new covenant promise, the covenant about inclusion in the kingdom of God based on faith in Jesus. Right? Everyone has potential to be part of that promise. But of course, at this stage of the Old Testament, it wasn't really like that. God was choosing a person first, Abraham, and then a people, Abraham's descendants through Isaac and Jacob, and Jacob's sons who became the Hebrew tribes, the ancient Israelites. Now, in the Old Testament, it was possible, but in those times very rare, for people on the outside of God's promises to be included. There are some very famous exceptions. Ruth the Moabitess, you will have heard of. There's a whole book about her. She became included in God's people. But actually, Hagar is living on the outside of God's promises at this time. And so we pick up Hagar in the wilderness, and she is hopeless. She wanders in the desert. She expects to face death. So it's at this point that it's actually quite helpful for us to think about hopelessness and despair in our modern context. It's all very well and good putting it in the ancient context, but actually in our modern context, there is a sense in which hopelessness and despair can very easily be connected to living outside of the promises of God. No wonder there's a connection. If we choose to willfully disobey God, it should hardly be surprising for us that we find life tough. We know that there is a lot of it out there. You don't have to read very much of the news to know that there is an epidemic of anxiety, particularly amongst young people today. We all know that medicated depression is everywhere. It's here, in the room. It's out there. It's everywhere. But there are no exceptions. Tragically, people find themselves sometimes so hopeless that they're thinking about ending their own lives. And Christians, people of genuine faith, people we love, are not immune. We know that. And we should be asking ourselves the question, what is going on? What is going on? Our experiences of the wilderness are probably mild compared to many other people's. What's going on? Like I say, our faith is not a silver bullet that sorts everything out. It is not as simple as to say, I believe in Jesus, therefore everything's okay. Everything is okay, but it may not feel like that in your life at this time. When it comes to faith, I think what we realise is that there are plenty of people here and elsewhere who can testify that faith does not solve anything, but it makes it a lot better. Faith takes us from the edge of absolute despair and brings us back to somewhere where we can face tomorrow. I mean, maybe ask yourself the question, when you are facing the moments of most despair, ask yourself the question, what would I be like without faith in Jesus? And so in this passage, if only Hagar had the eyes of faith, the vision that God gives, a sense that she was never alone in this. But into her wilderness experience, in verse 17, God hears Hagar in her desperation and then comes to visit her. God also hears the cries of Ishmael. And in verse 18, it's very clear that God has a plan for Ishmael's life. And finally, God gives them new vision. And actually, he gives them everything that they need in that moment and moving forward from the moment of despair. So as our application of what we're thinking about today, what I want us to think about particularly is that life lived outside of the promises of God, where does it lead if not to hopelessness? Right? There is so much that people are striving for and attaching meaning to, but is it meaningful stuff? The wilderness in this passage is the place of despair. And we live in a society where we know that in many, many areas, faith is in decline or is at least being misdirected. I mean, in Stockport, there is this large mind-body-spirit festival that happens each year. Are people really putting their faith in crystals and New Age and Eastern mysticism and so many other things? I mean, take your pick of what people are putting their faith and their trust in. So we shouldn't be surprised that there is a sense of growing anxiety and depression and hopelessness when we put our trust in things that are so far away from the living God. I mean, what is there to live for if this world is all that there is? Why bother trying to earn God's favour? Actually, we all know that we can't be perfect. So many other alternatives to trust in Jesus are one or other different way of saying, I will work to make God like me. It doesn't work because you can't. You can be as successful as you like, but what does it mean? As comfortable, but what difference does it make? At some stage or other, we all face crisis of purpose, crisis of worth. And there was Hagar on the outside of God's promises. And here we are today, many people that we know and love and are close to are choosing to live on the outside of God's promises. But what we also notice in today's passage is that God doesn't love you more than he loves them. He loves the people who are responding through faith to him. But here he is coming to comfort, to meet Hagar, to show Hagar that there is a purpose in her life as well. God loves those on the outside of his promises and he wants them to return to him. Isn't that a challenge for us? Ishmael is the figure that Muslims look to as the branch from which their religion comes. And here we have a sense of God cares for Ishmael. A sense of God cares for Muslims today. It's a challenge. But it's a fairly obvious one, isn't it? Of course he does. All of us are created in the image of God. Of course he does. Why wouldn't God want to save, through faith in Jesus, those who are following a misguided version of who he is? He wants to save them just as much as he wants to save you or I through faith in Jesus. He came to this world to show us the way. He died on a cross, not just for you, but for everyone. Of course he wants to save us. There are many people in our society, not just people who follow other religions, those who maybe have followed atheism or thoughtlessness or the religion of self-help. We know people like that. God wants to save them. He wants to meet them in their moment of despair, because these other things will lead ultimately to some sense of despair, and he wants to show them purpose in their lives. So as we come under the promises of God, What do we find? I mean, there's so many people here who know exactly what this experience is like. When we come under the promises of God, we find new purpose, we find hope, we find the resources for living well, the things that God gave to Hagar. We need to be talking about this. We need to be talking about this a lot. Because there is a world out there that needs to know. They need to know they can be living life a different way because of Jesus. And they also need to know that actually when the moment of despair hits, because it will, there is no point giving up on ourselves. Because God hasn't given up on you. God didn't give up on Hagar or Ishmael. God hasn't given up on us, and he won't give up on them. So, as we conclude, we're recognizing that the wilderness is a place of despair for Hagar. But it's also a place where she is seen. God sees what's going on. He hears Hagar's sobs. He comes to her. He gives her that new vision, that new purpose, new hope for a better future. We all need some of that today, don't we? We do, inside the church. Think how much people need that on the outside of the church. As we put our trust in Jesus, as we realize we are loved, you are loved. And God has a purpose for your life. You're not an accident. You may face tough times. But God has purpose for us because of what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done proves it to us. You are valuable enough that God died on a cross for you. The world needs to know that, doesn't it? Because it's the only way that we can have absolutely sure hope, even in our darkest times. So let me close by praying for us, that we would find that hope, we would know that hope, and we would share it with a needy world. Let me pray. Lord, thank you that whatever we are facing, whether we are in the darkest of times, or living in a moment where life is easy. Lord, help us to have that vision for who you are. The faith to say, Jesus is Lord. He died for me. Therefore, I'm valuable in your purposes. Lord, help us to continually be turning to you in faith. And Lord, help us to share that with a world that so desperately needs to know today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.